1 John chapter 4. I want to talk this morning about bold love. Can you say it with me, please? Bold love. Thank you, Pat. Bold love. Now, love is the longing of every heart. You know that eons and time against all time has been spent, people looking for love. And the old country song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Only we need to look for love in all the right places. But people try to buy it. They try to pay for it. Wars have been fought for it. Things have fallen apart because of it. People don't understand it. They can't tame it. They write books about it. They sing about it. They act about it. In the 60s, we sang, "All you need is love." Only we didn't understand what kind of love we were singing about, did we? All you need is love. And so many of the people who turned into what they considered free love, their lives have fallen apart and now are living like addicts because it was all free love back then. It's not God's kind of love, is it? Mother Teresa had a statement I thought was particularly powerful. The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. Now, Valentine's Day is a delight for some. Some, it's a really difficult day. For some, it is actually a day of suicidal thoughts. And there was a whole article I read on a broken-hearted desire because of what happens, the expectancies that people come into on Valentine's Day. But Jesus gives you a love that never fails. Jesus gives you a love that doesn't break your heart, but makes your heart. Jesus gives you a love that changes, that transforms, that transfigures our very life and living. Jesus gives a bold love that is readily available and has made the biggest change in my life. How about yours, church? God is love. 1 John chapter 4. Your hand is there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. See it in your own Bible. We will have the scriptures up here as well. I'm reading from the New King James. Number one, God is love. Say it with me. God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now that Greek word, agape, is love that is affection in its definition, affection or benevolence, especially a love feast. God prepares a love feast for those He loves. He loves and keeps on loving. He gives and keeps on giving. And He holds you tight. It's not just acts that He does, church. It's the fact that He Himself is love. We have a hard time relating to that. And in fact, the Greek, there's different kinds of words. We think of love and it's all messed up with soap operas and movies and horrific things that lead us in wrong directions. But God begins with this benevolent act of loving and giving and pouring out and continuing to pour out. There are a lot of thoughts about God. Some people think God's far away. God doesn't want anything to do with us. And He's not caring. He's not involved. Some people don't even believe that God exists. That's why it says, though we love those people, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because it's foolish to miss out on all the love, the benefits, the grace, and the mercy that He gives. He created the universe. He created you. Turn to each other. Look at each other with love in your eyes and say, He created you. You're not an accident. He's got kindness and generosity and he cares. What does it mean if you don't? What does it mean, and according to the scriptures, if you don't love, you don't know God? That's the acid test. You understand what I'm saying? The acid test. You can tell me all day long you love God, but if you're the Grinch who stole Christmas and can't stand anybody all around you and don't love, when the love needs to be there for other people, then you haven't had the Lord transform your heart. Now, I'm not saying you can't be in a bad mood, but you better get over it because God's good, right? God's good. He helps us get over it. But the acid test, the truth test of what's real. Now, we're here today on Valentine's Day. And some people tell the story of St. Valentine. There's other stories, many stories told. And some say it was legend, some say it was true, but there was a martyrdom for St. Valentine of Rome. And the story says that he was persecuted as a Christian. And many believe, indeed, it is absolutely true. And churches had days set aside to honor him. Some of those churches, some of the largest churches, have removed St. Valentine's Day from its calendar because they don't know really if the history is fully true. But the story is powerful. That as a Christian, he was interrogated by the Roman Emperor Claudius II in person. And Claudius was so impressed by this man that the Roman Emperor had a pleading discussion with him, attempting to get him to convert to paganism because the emperor wanted to save his life. And he wouldn't convert. In fact, Valentine tried to lead the emperor to Jesus. It's not only not going to give up the love of God for the paganism, he tries to lead the emperor to Jesus. And, you know, emperors, and many times throughout Roman history, we've discussed it, they were considered the gods of the land, and it came in. It wasn't the first ones who did that, but you follow the history and trace it through. They wanted to be worshipped, and they didn't want anybody worshipping any other gods. And so his trying to see him converted was a radically dangerous proposition. But Valentine refused to convert to paganism, and because of that, he was executed. Some say that he was a man who went around and would marry soldiers who were unable to be married by the church, and he tried to give away as much love as he could for people who would fall in love with Jesus. Before his execution, it's reported to that he performed a miracle by praying for and seeing healing upon the emperor's daughter, Julia. And she was blind, and she came to see. And the jailer's daughter, and it was not the emperor's daughter, my fault, it was the jailer's daughter. And the jailer's daughter and his 44-member household apparently then all came to believe in Jesus, got saved, and they were all baptized. And on the evening before he was executed, he is supposed to have written, and apparently wrote, if the story is true, the first Valentine card. He addressed it to the daughter of the jailer, who was no longer blind, and he signed it, "Your Valentine." And that's where the expression "from your Valentine" was later adopted by modern Valentine letter writers and card writers. See, so now you've had your history, came to church, got what? Some information. So information. Now, how about, you want a little more information? Valentine so much, people want love so much in our country. In 2016, Valentine Day sales in preparation have soared to an all-time high of $18.9 billion. That's an 8.5% increase over 2014 when people spent $17.3 billion in the U.S. 2016 sales broke the previous sales record reached in 2013, which was $18.6 billion. And over the past 12 years, Valentine's Day sales averaged $15.9 billion. This is from a survey recorded by the National Retail Federation. Well over half of adults in our country will celebrate Valentine's Day. Nearly 55% of adults in our country will celebrate it. You know how many astronomical numbers of people celebrate Halloween. And how many celebrate all sorts of different days and events, but they don't want to give any service to Jesus. They don't want to do Thanksgiving to give thanksgiving to God, or Christmas to give honor to Jesus. It's kind of interesting. Guys apparently spend about $191 on Valentine's Day, and ladies, you spend about $97. So the deal goes to the gal, right? You're quiet. Anybody paying attention here this morning? Most people that celebrate Valentine's Day do so between the ages of 35 and 44. So if you're not in that age group, you can turn to your honey and say, "Well, see, honey, doesn't apply to us." But for a lot of people, Valentine's Day is empty. But I am here to tack on to the theme of Valentine's Day the fact that Jesus has bold love for each and every one of you here and each and every one of us. For, say it with me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God shows love first. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God takes the first step toward me, toward you. He initiates it. You're not forgotten. You're not pushed aside. You're not thrown away by the Master. You're not uncared for. No matter how difficult your road may be right now, Jesus sees you, knows you, loves you, and cares for you. Please don't ever forget. We've talked in the past, and we've used the illustration where, you know, we think, you remember the footprints in the sand. Well, you know, Lord, I'm walking through this tough road, and I only see one set of footprints, and you must have not been there with me during that time. And of course, the answer is from Jesus, no, I carried you during that time. We've used the illustration as well as when you're in a car and your GPS is going and you got 100 miles straight away, you sometimes get worried when she says to you, nothing. How many get worried if you punched in the address to the GPS and you need her to tell you because you don't know where you're going? And all of a sudden, GPS, Maggie May, Maggie the Mapper, whatever you want to call it, she goes quiet. Yeah. Right? Yeah, right? Should I have turned off back there? But really, if it's 100 miles straight away, she doesn't need to give more of a voice and to get awfully close to your turnoff. But sometimes when things get tough and things get quiet for a long time, we think He doesn't see. He doesn't know. He does know. He does see. Hang on and keep walking. Can you do that? God's love. God shows His love first. Exactly who you are, He knows. Exactly what you've done, He knows. And aren't you glad, along with me, that Jesus looks at me and says, I know who you are and I know what you've done. And I came for you anyway. And I love you, Kath. Propitiation. There's a big fancy word. Big theological word. What's propitiation? And it's hilasmos or hilasmos. And it means literally atonement, at-one-ment, concretely an expiator. The NIV puts it very well when it calls this word propitiation atoning sacrifice. Jesus stepped in and took the punishment that you and I deserve, punishment and death. Remember, we've rehearsed it before. Let's do it again. Grace is getting, say with me, what we don't deserve. You get a gift that you don't deserve. But mercy, not getting what we do deserve. How many thank God that you don't get judgment here this morning? How many thank God that what you get instead is the love of God so rich and full? So, He came. He gave without a return. He went to the cross. He said, Father, it's finished. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He gave on that cross without a return. That's agape, isn't it? That's agape love. So now what? What does He tell us to do with this? Say it with me. Love each other. Pastor Kevin, this is too simple for me. I don't need to be in church this morning. Yeah, you probably do right along with me to be reminded of what the Word says. So what do we do with this love, this agape that He just poured out, got nothing in return. And what does He say I want you to do with it? Give me away. Give me away. Love each other. Love each other. 1 John 4:11-12. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. No one's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love has been perfected in us. What's He saying? God loves so much that He came, He lived, He ministered, He was punished, He died, He was buried, He rose again. We can't see Him tangibly right now. Sometimes we might see a visitation or an angel. Sometimes the Lord might give us a vision. Sometimes we hear the sound of His voice. We smell His fragrance. We taste Him. Very biblical experience. Oh, taste and see. How many would like some more of that yourself? Yeah. I remember friends talking about the vision they'd seen. And maybe you're like me. You go, Lord, I'll take one, even if it's in black and white. It's okay. Just. But it's got to agree with the Word of God, by the way. We don't cry out for experience aside from the Word. It's got to be in the Word of God or don't trust it. Because the devil can bring lots of stuff. But when you're in worshiping Jesus and your heart's right with Him, He brings us these kinds of experiences to be encouragements to us. And He loves us and He knows us. So what do? We show Him off. We show God to other people. How do we act toward one another? How do we react when something goes wrong? How do we react when you don't love me like you should? How do I act? Hopefully loving. How about when I don't love you like I should? How do you act? Okay, I love you. It's real life, isn't it? I mean, if you boil it down, sometimes, have you ever noticed, come on, can you be honest with me? Have you ever noticed it's sometimes a little easier to love somebody else more than your spouse? At times, if you're upset. See, lots of disclaimers there, right? It's all right, but it's easier. And what God is saying is, no, look. Right there in your own home are the people I'm going to ask you to love first and foremost, because I want you to see that it's real. And I want that person to know that it's real. And sometimes, you know, now beyond spouses, sometimes, have you ever had a neighbor or somebody close by that just plain wasn't pleasant? Come on, three of you are acting like you know what I'm talking about, have you? I mean, and doesn't it get right down into where you're really living, where the rubber hits the road and you go, and Jesus says, just love them. I don't want to. You sound like that little kid. I don't want to. And He says, honey, I loved you in spite of how you were. Just keep giving love away. And I got to tell you, it's not always easy. It takes guts and it's a choice. And some people, sometimes we've hurt others, sometimes others have hurt us, and it's not easy, but it's what Jesus says, give me away, forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing. And you go, well, I think they do know. Anybody here ever talk with God honestly? I think they do. I think they know. I really think they know. And Jesus said, okay. Let me deal with that. You just keep loving. Ouch. Am I crazy, Sherry? She's had to do this toward me. If I get all upset at something, she's had to say, Kev, I love you. And I go, I know. Thank you. And that's not even upset with her. It's something frustrating in the office. Or maybe you're like me. The technology doesn't work right. And man, stuff goes wrong. You're casting demons out of every phone line, every computer. You're casting the... You know, not healthy, that's right. So unplugged, peace baby, no. But it's all real, guys, it's all real stuff. And the point of all this is it's not always an easy choice to love like He loves. But it's the choice He wants us to make. See, how do people know who God is? And how He is. How do they know? By what they see. By what they see. You've heard the old phrase, sometimes you're the only gospel people will ever read. So let us, Lord, show you off. Let us show you off. So how do you know that you have Him in His love? Simple. How do you know? Well, when you surrender to Jesus, you've repented of your sins, you confess your sins, you ask Him to come into your heart. When you have this ongoing walk with Him and you confess and keep short accounts and you walk with Him in love and He forgives you and is your Lord sitting on your throne of your heart, then you know by the fruit. 1 John 4:13-16. 1 John 4:13-16. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Somebody say that with me again. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And that Greek abiding means to stay, to dwell, to abide in Him. What does He ask? He asks that we create a place for Him in our hearts by believing. We believe who He is. We receive who He is and what He's done for us. There's the truth. when you believe and confess Him and when you receive Him, the Scripture tells us He's in us by faith. Why come to church? So you can be informed, you can get information, should be there. We're going to say it correctly this week. Thank you for the help last week. Information, which leads to then we have inspiration. We understand what He's done and my heart's inspired. I want to walk better with Him. And then there's impartation. We take time in the presence of the Lord, like in worship, where we receive His presence and we commit ourselves to Him. And as we sit listening to a message and the Spirit convicts us or prompts us, we respond to Him right there in your seats as you're sitting there. God, help me. I know I'm short in this area. Forgive me, Lord. Have this interchange and there's an impartation of the presence of God. Or you come up after a service and people pray for you that the Spirit of the Lord might continue to be imparted to you as you walk out transformation, where you're changed and conformed to His image. You see, it's not enough to have a little understanding. He wants to lead us all the way to transformation. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many want to be transformed to be more like Jesus? That's what we want, and that's why we come to church. So what has He done? We're a sinner, lost without Him. Start at the basics. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners with a sin nature, and we need to repent of that sin. And we know He's the Savior, the only Savior. We ask Him to come into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior and to forgive us of our sins. And He does, rehearsing the basics. And this all is an establishing of relationship with Him. And then, guys, how do you know Jesus lives inside of you? How do you know?
You can
believe it. You can feel it. Better felt than telt.
Yeah.
Feel it, sir. And what was that? What was that?
Actions.
I'm sorry. No, I can't hear. What was that?
Your actions.
Oh, thank you. I heard that. How do you know?
Produce fruit,
you love, you start to change. I'm sure glad you don't know me when I was 16, man. Anybody else in the room say the same thing? Sure glad you didn't know me last year. No, you did. But you keep changing. You keep growing. And I'm different. Thank God I'm different than I used to be. Not where I want to be yet. But I thank God. And so the fruit of what He's done in my life transforms me. How do you know? Simple points from the Scripture. Number one, there's boldness with God. There's boldness. There's peace inside. And you know you're forgiven. The Bible calls it the word assurance. There's a certainty and assurance. If you don't know, if you died right now, if you don't know whether you would go to heaven or hell, you need to repent and surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come up and get prayer. So when you leave here today, you know if a car hits you or something happens, you're going to be right into the arms of Jesus. He puts assurance into the heart of His people. That's what it gives you. And there's boldness with God. What does that mean? I don't have to stand before God thinking He's going to come whomp me with His ugly stick because Jesus took the penalty for my sins and I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
Amen.
How about you this morning? Are you free? Are you clean by the blood of Jesus? You stand with boldness before Him. That's what it gives you. And you know it. I'm your knower. And inside, there's peace inside. If you don't know that, He loves you. Make it sure today. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Boldness. Parousia. All outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity, by implication, again, assurance. You got this. You got this because you got Him. And He's got you. The difference between when you were a kid growing up in your neighborhood, the difference between breaking into someone else's house, you got in trouble for that. Hopefully you never did that. But going into your neighbor's house, you did it a little more tenderly upon invitation. And maybe there was a standing invitation once you got to know them all. But it's still different when you went home to your own house. You walk in with boldness. He took my judgment. I belong to Him. And I now get to live in His house. Revelation 12:11-12. Watch the Scripture. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. What's the devil's job? To try to get you off course. To try to shame you, condemn you. You don't belong to Jesus. Remember that sin you did 2 years ago? It's still on your back. And you've asked the Lord to forgive you 100 times. Which is not a good statement, because the first time you were forgiven. Right? But you see, we wrestle with these. And he says, listen, he's got to shut up because he's been cast down. The accuser of the brethren who accused them. How often? Night and day is cast down by the blood of the Lamb and your agreement of what comes out of your heart and mouth by your testimony. No fear. So you got boldness and then no fear when you stand before God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have awe and respect and fear for the Lord Almighty, who is great and marvelous and can do anything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He can do anything. But you're not tormented by a fear that God hates you. You know that God loves you. And even if there's conviction and he's doing something in your life, it's because he loves you. When I was raising my children, I did so with an eye to loving, but being firm when I needed to be, so they could have their lives transformed to be productive, righteous citizens before God, so they could get rid of sin and be set free. How many know, do you remember in your kids' life, if they were trapped in doing something wrong, it usually did trap them? They needed your help and prayer to get out. Have you ever been there yourself? It's trapping. And Jesus comes along and says, here, I want to forgive you and set you free. And he gives others to you in the family of God to pray for you for that to happen. But there's fear, there's fright, there's alarm. And the Bible says, no, that's God. And we sing songs like, I get to lean now on the everlasting arms of Jesus. How many are glad for that? I'm leaning on the arms because he's my defense. The Greek word for torment, it says really literally, fear includes inflicting fear and torment. I double did that. I'm sorry. But it means there is an infliction of torment upon you when there's that kind of fear. Always looking over your shoulder. Always tossed. Never accepted. That's gone. The perfect love of God. Violently cast it away. And that's the meaning of the Greek. Violently thrust that away. Fear is thrust away because he has cast out that fear. Isn't that powerful? Look at the Message version on Revelation 11, or Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a strong voice out of heaven saying, salvation, power are established. The kingdom of our God, the authority of his Messiah, the accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. You can look at the devil, if he gives you a bad time, and say, out in the name of Jesus, I'm loved by God and covered by the blood of Jesus. You have no place here. So what do you also have? So you got boldness. You have no fear. And thirdly, you have bold love to give away. Say it with me. Bold love to give away. 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21. We love him because he first loved us. We quote it all the time because I think it's fundamental and crucial toward your walk with the Lord. Say it with me. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen. You're free. You're forgiven. You're delivered from tormenting fear. You're the one at peace. You've got love to give away to people who don't have that kind of peace. You have boldness in his presence. You got the change in your pocket to help them out. Even when someone doesn't return that love to you, that's the kind of love you have to give. Agape. It can be a hard choice, but a bold choice to live boldly. I want to say it again, John 3, 16 and 17, it's all up here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There was a married couple that had been married for 15 years, and after that length of time, they found they were just furious with disagreements and arguments. And the thing is, they wanted especially to make this marriage work. So they agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip every day, once a day, into the fault box. And the boxes would provide a place to let each other know about the daily irritations. They could get it off their back, drop it into the box. The wife was very diligent about her efforts, her approach. And you know, then they were going to sit down together at the end of the month. And she would drop things in there that we do, guys, like leaving the jelly jar top off and wet towels on the shower floor. And dirty socks didn't make it to the hamper and on till the end of the month. So she'd drop those things in and drop those things in. And it worked for her. She was able to get free from that irritation. And at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. And the husband very somberly and seriously received what his wife was upset about. Really sweetly and sincerely, he would reflect on each item. And he responded well. Then the wife opened her box, expecting to find a whole host of things. She began to read. One by one, every note was the same. And the message on each little piece of paper, dropped in every single day, one by one, was, I love you. I love you. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 tells us, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Can you, along with me, give away the presence of Jesus and His bold love?
Yes.
Stand with me, would you, church? Musicians, would you come, please? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do it. Best decision you'll ever make. Not always easy, but always good. Because God is good all the time. And all the time. Let's go to that song, Key of D, musicians. If you need further prayer this morning, there'll be people here to pray for you and honored to do so. I ask you, if you're from Grace Christian Center, stick around and we'll dismiss and then just gather right back for about 20 minutes is all. I won't take you too long on Valentine's Day. I'll just give you opportunity to express bold love toward me for asking you to stick around. Lord, we thank you for your bold love to us that you've given to us, redeemed us, saved us, and filled us with your Spirit, and you've given us mercy and grace. We love you so much. Today, we go out with the joy and rejoicing, knowing we're free before the Lord. And Lord, we go committing ourselves evermore to giving bold love, the bold love of Jesus, away. How we love and worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Would you slip up your hands, please, and receive the benediction. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be released. Amen.